Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, rounding out the last half hour of today's winning Wednesday landslide for Dems victory celebration. You want to give us your thoughts on the election outcomes, lessons, takeaways. What should we be doing in Wisconsin? We got big elections coming up, Supreme Court in the spring, of course, then midterms in the fall, and the governor's race in 2026. What does it all mean? What do you think? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. But Jamie, let's talk about some of these lower profile elections. There was one I have to call out to start with because she is a friend of mine and I'm so very, very proud of her. The city of Albany, the seat of state government in New York State, the city of Albany has elected its first Black female mayor in a quite decisive victory. Her name is Dorsey Appelrees. I'm so happy for you, Dorsey. I met her through Milwaukee County Board Chairman Marcelia Nicholson. She is amazing. She has a vision and she's normal, right? She has worked for a living. No trust fund for Miss Dorsey. Big congratulations to you, Dorsey. Let's listen to a wee bit of her victory speech last night.
Tonight we made history. Tonight we made history. And as I've said many, many times before in the campaign trail, home is always worth fighting for, and we're going to fight like hell for Albany. It is imperative that we have a more equitable city. Every resident deserves my undivided attention, integrity, and commitment to hard work and investment, and you have just that, Albany.
Right? It's family. I'm going to work hard for you. Like, just basically returning to character and integrity as things that must be prerequisites for elected officials. And Dorsey has all of those things in spades, as well as a work ethic that is unparalleled. So congratulations to Ms. Dorsey Appelrees, the newest mayor-elect of Albany, New York, making so history. Exciting. Her story, so exciting. So
absolutely exciting. No, before we jump into some of these lesser known results from yesterday, which, by the way, I'm so excited because this is where I shine in life, Maggie. I have to tell you, you talk about you being a nerd around numbers. When we get into this kind of stuff, oh, I had sheets out today and I was so excited. But I do think it's interesting that as we talk about all of these results from yesterday and the messaging of the Democrats, Mike Johnson today said this: the economy and healthcare are two of the primary issues in the country, clearly, and that's why we're delighted to run on our record. Yikes.
Magical thinking, Mike Johnson. His grasp of reality is tenuous as at best, but his affixing of his lips to Donald Trump's behind is a certitude.
I was like, who wrote that? Did somebody write that for you yesterday? I wasn't sure how that came into conversation today, but that's what he was touting this morning during his big media blitz.
His daily dissembling destruction of him. Mike Johnson does so much more harm to the cause every day at that podium than he helps. Folks, does he not remind you a wee bit of Ralphie from A Christmas Story?
It's the glasses.
Like all grown up. It's the glasses.
And the perfect hair. I think that's what gets me every single time. Because he does have a good head of hair. I mean, say what you want about the man, but he has a good head of hair.
Let's talk about some of these lower profile elections.
Yes. And I do want to remind everybody before we dive into those, Abigail Spanberger, Virginia's first female governor in the state's history. So that's another notable thing to add on there. And speaking of Virginia, this one was one of those under the radar kind of races. Ghazala Hashemi Hashmi actually became the first Muslim American woman elected to statewide office anywhere in the country when she was elected last night as Virginia's lieutenant governor. So now you've got two ladies in power there in Virginia, which is pretty darn cool. Yes. I'm also very excited about this one, because this one, obviously, when we're talking about all these great females, this went way under the radar. But in Detroit last night, they elected in the city's 324-year history, they just elected their first female mayor with over 75% of the vote. My goodness. Her name is Mary Sheffield. So I think that's going to be something interesting for people to keep an eye on as well.
Go ahead, Mary. That's a callback, right? To 227.
Yes. One of my favorite shows of all time. Oh my gosh, Jack Kay. Come on. I mean,
got Jack Kay in it. And if you don't know what we're talking about, until the screen. All right, Mary.
Such a good show.
Not doing Jack Kay any justice here. But that was a huge one. The other one that I wanted to point out, that to me, a huge big deal for female candidates, I mentioned this just in passing. St. Paul, Minneapolis, their first female mayor elected. Her name is Kaholi Herr. She's the first, not female, but first Asian American mayor. She beat incumbent Melvin Carter. And
the she worked thing, for him at one point in time, by the way.
And the important thing to note here in Minneapolis and in St. Paul is that they have ranked choice voting, and they've been going to these second rounds. We don't know the outcome yet for the Minneapolis mayor's race. They have to go to the process for ranked choice voting. Boy, isn't that exciting. Voters had many options, not just two. I think it's a great exemplar. And in St. Paul, the entirety of city leadership in St. Paul, Minnesota is now all female. Seven of their city council seats are held by women, and now they have their first female mayor. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, and I'm going to put up a correction there. As of about 2 hours ago, according to the Minneapolis Star Tribune, Mayor Jacob Frey has officially been declared the winner of the Minneapolis mayoral election.
In the second round. So they went to the second, they had to count up how many people had placed him in their second choice, because he didn't get to 51% counting exclusively the first choice votes. Again, I think that's worthy to watch. It works, the ranked choice voting approach. And again, it provides people with many options instead of just two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other races that you think were worthy of note,
Jamie? Oh, okay. So this gets very exciting. And I don't want to run out of time, because I do want to give us a chance to talk a little bit about what happened in Mississippi. So I'm going to fly through a couple of these other ones. But Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. Now, this is an interesting county because it's ground zero for a lot of the anti-immigrant sentiment that we're seeing across the country. Now, in 2012, they went for Obama, and then they strongly swung for Trump in 2016. And this was a county that was the sole Obama-Trump pivot county in the state that actually backed Trump when Biden actually won Pennsylvania in 2020. They flipped their county council to Democratic control last night. It's actually a wild kind of story, right? And then, you know, we like to talk a lot about the local and state races because, you know, as you like to say, those affect your everyday life probably the most. And I guess a lot of people across the country got that message last night, because Democrats pulled out victories that are going to reshape communities. They flipped all three of their city council seats in Georgetown, South Carolina. The unseating of the last remaining Republican city council member took place last night in Orlando, Florida. And they also won back the mayoral races in Connecticut. And then in Maine, Republicans, this is actually something to keep an eye on, especially as we start talking more about VRA, the Voting Rights Act.
Right.
But Republicans, and then, of course, Trump last night talking about major voter reform on Truth Social. But Republicans
means voter suppression, bullying voters, and all sorts of illegal meddling in what should be state-run elections by the federal government.
Of course.
Donald Trump, right? OJ and FBI. Sorry, just had to editorialize.
Of course. No, that's okay. It's your show. So in Maine, Republicans backed this ballot measure that was going to impose voter ID requirements and restrict absentee voting. Those two measures would have obviously reduced turnout, as is the result of those things. Democrats obviously oppose that, and it failed miserably as part of this overall national wave. Passage now would have actually helped Democrats who opposed it, and it would have hurt the Republicans who supported it, interestingly enough. But that failed miserably. So in other words, maybe a little bit of a referendum of people saying, don't touch what's already working for us. So I thought that was interesting. And then, of course, I had to save room for Mississippi because I felt like this really, even though the Republicans in Mississippi will still hold major control over the House and Senate, there were some big moves and major waves that were made last night because the Democrats actually broke the supermajority in the Mississippi State Senate. And I know that you've dove into that one handedly. So, I'll let you kind of tell us what the numbers show from that last night.
So the Mississippi State Senate election is notable for three reasons. First, the Democratic candidate won that election, and that had been held by a Republican for a very long time. Secondly, the Democrat won that election by a margin of 71% to 29%. I just want everybody to sit with that for a moment. This was a long-held Republican state Senate seat in Mississippi. So they were voting by margins for Republicans for over the last decade. And the Democrat won 71% to 29%. And the third thing about that election that is so very important is that by flipping that seat, they have broken the Republican supermajority in the Mississippi State Senate for the first time in 13 years. That is a 40-point win margin in a traditionally Republican-held seat to bust up their supermajority. It is huge. I cannot overstate how important that is. I also wanted to call out this very wonky election. There were two seats up in Georgia for its public utility board, it's a statewide board. They had been held for a long time by Republicans. Democrats flipped both of those seats in Georgia statewide elections last night. Peter Hummerd, a Democrat, defeated a guy named Fitz Johnson, who was an incumbent, had been appointed by Governor Brian Kemp. In the other contest, Alicia Johnson, a Democrat and a Black woman, defeated Tim Echols, an incumbent who's been on that board since 2011. When you take these two elections, plus what I think we saw in Prop 50, plus the drifts in every single Virginia county by no less than 6 points to Democrats, these upsets over and over and over again, I can't find an election where a Republican either upset a Democrat or won a race that was a tight call. I can find none, and I was looking for them.
Yeah.
This stuff is absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Interesting. We might have a little chitty chat with CJ on the other side because he wants to get in his two cents. And we'll give him a shot. Folks, don't go anywhere. We're going to hear from one of our conservative callers. I did place a challenge to MAGA supporters. Call me and let's talk about the election. CJ wants to do that. You're not going to want to miss it. Ali from the Northwoods up next as well. You can join us 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Get in while the getting's good. It's the last segment of the day.